that love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, I will never forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to focus this morning on, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is my helper, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How are we doing? Is your life as crazy as mine is? Turned upside down? Some of you are going through trials, tribulations. Eddie and Fatima were probably going to be here. However, Eddie's mom passed away yesterday sometime, because I got the text during the day. So, Edwards. So he was debating whether he would go out to Calgary where his mom is. I guess they got word that she was not in good shape. So some of the family was flying in from all over the world. And I don't know if he actually went or if he is going, but let's keep them in prayer. Life doesn't stop, Ian. Some of you have been told you need to vacate the current dwelling you're in, so there's always challenges that going through a move is probably one of the, well, it is, according to psychologists, counselors, / whatever, it is one of the top three stressors in life. So, there's always stress. It's always stress, but who cares, right? That's the world we live in. Just, you know, you pick up a newspaper, you find the whole world's living in stress. But we're not of the world, and my job here is to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the world. We're not of the world, we're in the world, but not of it. We don't need to allow the world to bring us down a crazy path of anxiety and stress and headaches and all that stuff. We are the children of God whom he cares for and loves. And I have been preaching on love in the last few weeks we've been gathering together. And I just want you to know how much God loves us. As Aaron shared, it is such an important thing to know him as Father, yes, and we are his children, and that he looks after his children, and he will go to the uttermost length to look after his children, right? He will part seas for them and do miracles to feed them, and he's an incredible God who is able to supernaturally provide and do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. However, we are human, and so we often forget that God is God, and God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And what happens is we default in our own understanding, and we get all anxious and worried. And what happens after that? When you kind of say, without saying it, that, I don't know if you can handle this one, God. I think I can do a better job, right? I'll take matters into my own hands. I'm going to lean on my own understanding. What's the next step? Well, you take one step and you realize, I can't do this. But I've told God I don't need him. Right? Now, anxiety starts to come in. Do I have to go back? Do I have to repent and tell him, oh God, I messed up. I do need you. But normally, it's not the first step. We go way down that path. And then we go into anxiety, depression, headaches, all the things that come with us leaning on our own understanding and going our own way, until we finally go, oh God, I need you again. And we go back, and then we get on that, you know, treadmill of groveling and begging. And he says, all right, Mike, I'll help you out. Can you just stay out of it this time and let me do it? And when I read Hebrews 13, that's what I'm reading. I'm reading a persecuted church who is going through a really tough time. Lots of persecution, lots of difficult things from many areas of life, from the world and from their old religion, and just tons of backlash and family problems because they've decided to follow Jesus now. And some of them are fleeing their homes, and some of them are forced out of their cities and fleeing to other parts of the country. And it's like, doesn't get much crazier than this. And he's been telling them, you know, about Jesus. He's been telling about Jesus since the opening, that he's God and he created everything and he's got everything under control, and just keep your eyes on him. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. He'll get you to the end. And he gives these great examples in chapter 11 of all these people who've made it, right? It's the hall of faith, we call it. And these people have gotten to the end of their journey, or maybe they haven't. Maybe they've packed it in or been destroyed in the process. But ultimately, the message of Hebrews is Jesus, high and exalted, God of the universe, who created everything, who knows you intimately, who has been on planet Earth in chapter 2. He says he's suffered every single thing that you're going to suffer. He's been tempted in every way, just like us. He's gone through it. He knows what it's like. And so all this beautiful doctrine of his atoning work and the need that for him to bring sacrifice. We can't get saved by the sacrifices of the Old Testament, that only Jesus' blood covers from over sin. Only Jesus' blood can deliver. Only Christ can set us free. And he's just trying to build them up in their most holy faith. And then chapter 13, some believe it's like, this doesn't even seem to fit. But you know what? It really fits. Because it's just like practical stuff to do while you're living the Jesus life. Okay? And you know, this Jesus life is really practical because we're in the world. And we need information on how to live in the world.
Yes.
And so you should read this chapter. And you know, don't stop like at Romans after the doctrine. You know, after Romans 8, 9, 10. Just go right into 12 and see there's some real practical stuff there on how to live life in Christ. And here's the thing, let's start applying it. Because the world is getting crazy. And it's getting more difficult, and there will be lots of turmoil. And sometimes this turmoil is brought in by God just to mature us a little more quickly, because we're taking our time and reaching maturity. And so he's probably going to allow things in your life. He's going to allow the big move and the big news that you got to vacate, or you know, you got sickness. And what he's doing in that is teaching you to trust him. Teaching you these three things: I will never leave you or forsake you, that I'm your helper, that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just find it fascinating, as, you know, I'm asking God, what is it you want to say to your bride? And here's what he wants to say. I want them to know who I am. This is not going to be easy. And I'm just really saying a message I've been preaching for quite a while now. I'm just saying it a different way. And God is just encouraging us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And so I want to focus on number one: I will never leave you or forsake you. And I have called this section, he's always present. God is always present. He's always present. Okay? Always. There's not a time in your life, there's not a moment, there's not a minute or a second in your life where God is not present. Okay? And I'm human, you're human, last time I checked. We can go through life, and we can go through days, and we can go through hours in the day where we think God is not with us. And we believe that lie, that God is not with us, and this problem is too big for God, I'll handle it. And we kind of default to that, right? And I don't know why we forget that God is with us. God is with us. God is with me, who is against me? So, you know, what you're going to hear today is a lot of scriptures that just confirm what we ought to believe about Christ. And this is the first thing: he's always present. He's always present. When the people of God, the Israelites, are going into the promised land, and he's got this amazing mission. You know, I'm going to show you these scriptures because they're really powerful. So let's go to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. It's good to get your hands dirty in the Bible. Turn those pages and highlight and underline. And when you do that, you're going to start seeing patterns and signs and God telling his people over and over again the same message, over and over and over again, every generation, the same message. And here's the message, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. To his people, through Moses, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, those people that are going to be in the land. Don't worry about it. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So then Moses turns from the people and he turns to Joshua, the one who's going to lead them. And he says to Joshua, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. Okay? He's always present with his people. He'll be with you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. And we go to Joshua 1. He says the exact same thing when he commissions Joshua. Joshua, I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Let's go to some other amazing scriptures here in Isaiah 43. And these are, you know, we have mentioned these over the years. Maybe got them pinned up somewhere. These are the verses that go on plaques and we hang around our house, which is a really good idea, by the way, to have the scriptures right at your fingertips. But he tells the Israelites, which are really the people of God, right? He's trying to tell his people the same truth all the way through. Okay, we're talking many, many years later after the Exodus. He tells them again, chapter 43 of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Okay? And it's the same message over and over. And it's such a beautiful picture because you start hearing this message, God, you're with me. You're with me. You're present. You're always present with me. And you think of these stories, okay, like David when he's got to face a giant. Who was there guiding the stones? It was God. Okay? It's God who directed. There's no way you could land right between the eyes and take down that giant. But God makes it happen. Okay? And you think of Daniel in the lion's den. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. It's just like he's always there. They're the fourth person in the fire with them. We get to the New Testament. And Jesus is with his disciples. And he's leaving. He's been telling them, I'm going to die. I'm leaving. You're not going to have me anymore. But here's the thing. John 14. If you want to flip there real quick, you probably need to highlight these. 14:16. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. He will be with you forever. Who is he? Who is the helper? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you because you're my people. I'm going to be there in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's called the helper, which is point two. But I want you to just keep reading here. He's the Spirit of truth. Verse 17, he abides with you and will be in you. That's Jesus who is going to be present in the believers. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said. And peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away. I will come to you. Hey, I'm never leaving. I may be leaving physically, but I'm never leaving you. I'm always going to be present in the person of Holy Spirit. And let's just go to Matthew 28. The end of the gospel. The end of the longest, most detailed gospel. What does he say to his disciples? The last thing he says to his disciples. You should know this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And if you read the Greek, it's like, behold, I want you to really get this. I'm not here anymore, but I'm always here with you. I'm not here in person, but I'm here with you. I am with you always, forever, even to the end of the age. Okay? It's the same message. God is always present. Always, always present. I could take you to Acts 18, where Jesus says to Paul, after he's had a really tough time in Corinth, Jesus says, I am with you. No one will attack you. I have many people in this place. Don't worry. I'm with you. Okay? And it's a consistent message Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know well, lean not on your own understanding, but in every way, all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. How is He able to direct your path? Because He's with you. He's able to speak and say to you, don't go down that road, go down this road. Right? What's the key to knowing He's always with you? Listening to His voice. Okay, so that's point number one. I can show you 1,000 more scriptures. He's always present. Number two, what does Hebrews 13 say? Verse 6. Somebody read it out.
So we will say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
I will not be afraid because the Lord is my helper. Jesus said the Holy Spirit in John 14, He called Him the helper. He's with you. He's always with you. So if He's always present, God, who can do anything, okay, that means He's always able. Yes. He's always present. He's always able. Now, here's some scriptures. Very familiar ones. I'm not going to take you to obscure passages. Here's a really good scripture you guys all know. And you can probably quote in some of you the whole thing. But Psalm 23 says what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay? Period. Period. So let me read you some of the stuff you shall not want. You won't want anxiety because He makes me lie down in green pastures. You won't want peace and quiet because He makes you lie in quiet waters. Okay? He leads you right beside the quiet water. Yeah. If you let Him lead you. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. You don't need to fret about the temptation of sin and all the stuff that you might do during the day. He'll guide you in the path of righteousness if you walk with Him, because He's always present and He's your helper and He's always there to help you. Okay? Listen to this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For You are with me. Okay? This is before the new covenant. Friends, this is David saying, you know, before he's been born again and the Spirit of God is in him, he's saying, God is always with me. I know that He's always with me. Not only that, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If I let You lead, there's comfort, there's peace, there's joy. Okay, so He's the helper. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in time of need. Ever-present help in time of need. He's your helper. He's the one who's always there. He feeds, He protects, He provides, He defends, He heals, He strengthens, He empowers, He does all these things. When Jesus was on planet Earth, He demonstrated very clearly, He fed, He healed, He provided for, He brought people comfort, He brought people hope, He brought people joy. Remain in me, your joy will be complete. Here's my peace, I'm going to give you my peace. Like, whatever you're looking for, guess what? It's found in the one who helps. His name is Jesus. And that Jesus, you don't have to go to a church to get Him. You don't have to get on your knees and pray Him in. He's always there. This is remarkable truth. Friends, the body of Christ needs to walk as if Jesus is in them all the time. Right? Am I wrong? Can you walk like that? Let's just get practical. What is the number one thing that takes us away from realizing that Jesus is present? It's not hard. You all live the same life I do.
Pride. Unbelief.
Okay. I wasn't going there, but okay, that's good. Pride and unbelief.
Pride and unbelief.
Anxiety, when leaning on your own understanding. You see, the moment you get anxious, well, you've already forgotten that Jesus is with you, because Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. See, I'm the one who can, I'm the bread of life. I am the light of life. I am life. Like, whatever you're looking for, I'm it. I'm joy, I'm peace, I'm healer, I'm Jehovah this, Jehovah that. I'm whoever you need me to be, I'm going to be, because I am that I am. I'm God. But you're right. When we encounter a situation, we default to, what do I do? What do I have to do? I wish I would get to the point where I would say, hey, thanks for the opportunity to grow in You. I'm just going to let You take over. Yeah. There's a giant. Yeah. Hey, Dad, look after this giant. There's a wall in front of me. Thank You, Lord, I can leap over a wall with You. I'm going for it. So just think of the scriptures. You know, and you guys, you're just like me, right? Well, that's the Old Testament. Come on, he was like some supernatural God. No, because if we just stopped, if we just said, he's always present, he's always able. Like, Hebrews 13:8 is there. But that was the Old Testament. No, here's what, whoever wrote this, let's say Paul. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same God. He does not change. Okay? What he did back then, he can do now. He can part the waters. He can bring healing. He can do whatever he wants to do because he's God. He can supernaturally lift you out. I've shared this before. I've read stories where, you know, little wee women in a car accident lift the car off their kid. Like, God is able to do it. He's able to send angels and do miraculous things. He's still a God of miracles. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right. He can loosen your tooth.
He can loosen your tooth. He can take away pain. He can give you wisdom. He can give you his wisdom. We actually have the mind of Christ. So we just need to lean on Jesus a little more. And that's really the message of this. It's like, I'm just fascinated. You know, if you take time to read scripture, you start to see these little nuggets. I think these are like three nuggets in the book of Hebrews amongst the 4,000 other nuggets in here that my God is an incredible God. And he cares for me and loves me, and he's an amazing father, and he just wants to walk life with me. Right? And it's like, Mike, I want you every single day to get up and praise me and welcome me into your life and say, today, Lord, you lead me. I don't care what I'm facing. I know that, Dad, you're going to get me through. It doesn't matter. There's no obstacle too big. There's no wall too high. I know you're going to get me through. Because you're always present. You're always able, and you never change. You're always faithful. Okay? You're always trustworthy. Trustworthiness means you don't change. See, if I can't trust you, that means I never know what I'm going to get every day, right? Is it going to be a lie? Is it going to be truth? Is it going to be this person or that person, this side of you or that side of you? No, God is always the same. He's always omniscient, omnipotent, all-knowing. You know, he's always present. He's always aware of everything. He knows the future and the end. He's able. He's just able to do anything. I mean, he can part the seas. He can heal cars. He can do whatever. He can supply financially if you're stuck. Right? So we don't have to struggle and strive, and we just need to trust. And I really believe that's what God is calling the body of Christ to. A really intimate, tangible presence where Jesus is alive and people know that you walk with Jesus. Because what is the world needing right now? They need to know Jesus. And you are the light of the world. You're the city on the hill that cannot be hid. You're the one who carries Christ. He's always with you. And I'm encouraging us to, and myself, to live to that realm, to kick it up a notch and say, God, I'm just going to follow you. When I get to an obstacle, you're it. And if you're struggling, listen, the worst thing you want to hear when you're in the middle of a trial is just keep your eyes on Jesus. But can I just suggest we need to be open to allow someone to say that to us? Because that's exactly what we need, right? When you're stressed about a situation, the last thing you want to hear is, don't be anxious for anything. No, trust me. It seems to be a default for a lot of people. But he says this, like we didn't read verse 5 very carefully, but let's read verse 5. You want a stress-free life? Hebrews 13:5, let your character be free from the love of money. Stop worrying about money. Okay? You want a free life? Stop worrying about money. What does the Bible say? The love of money is the root of all evil. If you need money, and you want money, and you're desiring money, then you're going to do whatever it takes to get money. And money's going to become an idol, and you're going to put your faith in you getting money, and you're going to push God out of the way, who is the what? Supplier of all things. And next thing you know, you're going to get stressed because you've taken the onus to bring the money in yourself. And friends, It's very simple to say, I am the provider. It's very easy to do that. Well, I just got to do this, and I just got to do that. And there are things we need to do. Okay, you got to work. But honestly, when you're in a pinch, when the tax man shows up and says, oh, we've increased another 15%, and we need more money out of you, and you don't have it, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're my provider. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to chase money. I'm not going to make it an idol. You're my idol, Lord. You are my God, and you will supply. Okay? And so, money's a big one. It's one of the top three stressors. Being content with what you have. This really spoke to me. You know, what we're going through right now, it's like, oh my goodness, look what I've accumulated over the last 40 years of my life. Unbelievable. As we start to get rid of things, it's like, is this demonstrating that I'm not content unless I have these things? Like, we live in a society where we gotta have better and better and better and the newest. And it's really disheartening to some of us, is it not? When you try to keep up with the Joneses? I hope not. Maybe you're living with unsaved people and they want to buy and they want to buy. And it's like, when are we going to learn to be content? So there's a remedy for that. It's in Philippians 4, where the other stuff is found that nobody wants to read when they're going through trials. But here's the reality. Let's go to Philippians 4, because it's a really good section. I tell people to put this up on their wall all the time. Philippians 4, 4 to 8, you guys know well. Rejoice in the Lord always. I would say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. Let the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. However, here's what he says. Verse 11. Well, let's do verse 10. I rejoice, Philippians 4:10, in the Lord greatly, now that at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. You guys know the life of Paul? You know, the beatings and imprisonments and going without foods, bobbing up and down in the water for several days because of shipwreck. I mean, he's had it all. He's had a rough life, and he says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. How can he say that? I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Here's the big crescendo. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever the circumstance, I can do it. Why? Because Christ is in me. He's always present. He's always my helper. He never stops being the helper we need in every situation, right? Even as the psalmist writes, he's our ever-present help in time of need. If there's one verse that sums up this whole thing, that's it. Ever-present help in time of need. He can do it all. All your needs. So what he's really asking the church to do there is to give, to supply. And they're afraid, oh, I can't let go of this money. And he says, well, you just got to trust God. Look after your brothers and God will bring the supplies. You can give more. Anyway, the key to all this is, how big is your God? Is your God the same God? Is he the same Jesus that you read about in the New Testament? Is he the same one who can multiply the food? Is he the same one who can heal the sick, raise the dead? Is he the same one who can take away your sin, forgive your sin, heal you, your heartache, bind up your broken heart? Is he the one who can release you from the prison of unforgiveness? Is he the one? Yeah, if he's the one, he's the same one you read about. And he's the same one living inside of you. And that's what God wants us to know for this season, that God is more than able, and that God lives right here. Whatever you're going through, sometimes the thing we're really struggling with and we need the most help is our character, our responses, our emotional outbursts, right? God is able to do that. You have the spirit of self-control. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You can do it all through Christ. And I just want to encourage you, let Jesus live his life through you. Like Paul says, it's no longer I that live anyway. life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Like, it's Jesus living through me. And just, I'm learning that when you give him control, it's a great life. It's like worry-free. There's peace and joy in the Holy Spirit if you let the Holy Spirit lead. And you know, that message is repeated from the beginning to the end. There's never a discrepancy in that message. And what the Bible is really demonstrating is people who rely on themselves, what the trouble they get into. And it starts right in the garden. They would have had like peace and joy in the Holy Spirit if they just followed God. But they chose to go their own way, and the way Satan was leading them. Next thing you know, all chaos and confusion and all that stuff started. So it's, well, sometimes we say, dude, is this really possible? Can I really live like this? Yeah, you can. You can. That's why you need to live in community. I'm not saying move in together. God forbid. What I'm saying is, we need to encourage each other to keep going to Jesus and not get offended when someone says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because really, he's the answer, right? He's it. That's the role of a brother or sister who sharpens you like iron, right? To speak the truth, to remind you. It's about Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't sweat the big stuff. God's in control. Okay? No matter. Even if it's your health, don't sweat the big stuff. God can yank a tooth out. God can take away pain. He can heal. He can give you the grace to endure. Right? He can take you home, and then you won't have any pain anymore.